Good day, and welcome to the Playtech's Q3 Interim Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Mor Weizer, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for taking the time to join us on this call to review Playtech's Q3 2014 performance, especially those of you dialing in from Australia. I'm Mor Weizer, Chief Executive Officer, and with me is Ron Hoffman, our Chief Financial Officer. Before Ron reviews the numbers, I'd like to say not only is this the best quarter Playtech has ever had, but it is the 13th quarter in a row that we have achieved double-digit growth, which follows the extensive operational work in line with our strategy outlined in our interim presentation. I'll now hand over to Ron before I take you through some of the operational achievements this quarter.
Thank you, Mor, and good morning, everyone. I am pleased to announce that this quarter has produced the strongest set of results Playtech has ever reported. Revenue was over 116 million, up over 28% on the same period last year, and only marginally lower on a like-for-like basis after excluding various small acquisitions, including Eurolive and Cyclone. A similar marginal effect is seen also when stripping out the effect of movement in exchange rates, with approximately 26% growth on a constant currency basis. Revenue for this quarter was also up over 4% on Q2 2014, despite Q3 being a traditionally slower quarter due to seasonality. Looking at the product verticals in more detail, casino generated over 62 million euros, up over 33% on the comparable quarter in the prior year, and approximately 3% on Q2 2014. This impressive increase was mainly driven by growth in mobile, which I'll cover in more detail shortly, Live, Playtech's open platform solution visible with Gala, Cora, Ladbrokes, and others, premium content, and core casino, which was driven by both organic growth and new business, including strong growth in Asia, Ladbrokes, Gala, Cora, Betfair, and others. Mobile casino revenue was over 6 million euro, more than double that of the prior period, continuing the strong growth trajectory seen in the first half. As we predicted at the time of the interim results, mobile casino has now surpassed mobile sports to become the largest constituent part of mobile. We also started seeing our mobile Live casino offering becoming more and more popular, although still small as in its early days, with growth seen with Paddy Power, bet365, Betfair, and others. Overall, mobile now accounts for over 15% of software revenues, and it continues to be a major opportunity for future growth. Services contributed 34 million euro to revenue, up over 19% on Q3 2013 and around 8% above the previous quarter. During the third quarter, the company commenced the delivery of its turnkey strategy with three licensees, which moved their U.K.-facing activity under the Playtech white label structure. These activities, while currently still small in size, strengthen our position as a key provider to these licensees and support the financial and operational benefits that can be achieved by using our turnkey offerings. Excluding the effect of these, along with the acquisition of Eurolive, like-for-like services was up 11%, mainly due to organic growth of Live facility services as it enjoys the growth trends from the Live offering. These factors have mitigated the negative effects resulting from certain licensees transitioning from certain dot-com markets and the market trend effect on poker strategy revenues in the challenging poker market. Services continues to be a key vertical to the future success of securing structured deals and the significant earnings that can be achieved by delivering our strategy. Sports revenue, totaling over 7 million euro, was more than double from that of the comparable period. Online sport improved 84%, driven by results favoring the bookies during the quarter and new licensees, including Ladbrokes in Spain and Belgium and Gazzetto dello Sport, while mobile sport grew 114% to contribute over 6 million euros, mostly driven by the launch of Ladbrokes in Q4 2013 and the organic growth of mainly Gala, Coral, and William Hill. Bingo generated 4.6 million euro in revenue, an increase of over 9% on the same quarter in 2013, positively impacted by the sterling-euro exchange rate. On a constant currency basis, Bingo increased approximately 2%, driven by organic growth including Bet365, Gala Coral, and Sky, supported by Trinity Mirror, who completed their soft launch migration phase during the quarter. Encouraging results for a traditionally slow, quiet quarter. Poker was up 3% compared to the same period in the prior year. The poker market remains challenging, and the positive result is linked to a weak comparative due to certain one-off items in the prior year. A small positive impact from a stronger sterling exchange rate, Ladbrokes, and growth in France relating to BetClick Evers. Land-based revenue, which includes VideoBet, IGS Casino Management, and Retail Sports, were €3.5 million, up approximately 21% on the comparable period last year, mainly driven by the acquisition of Cyclone in the first quarter and new business, further complemented by the strengthening of the sterling in the period. On both constant currency and like-for-like basis, land-based revenues increased by approximately 10% on the prior period, mainly due to an increase in the number of terminals in Mexico and the number of new casino installations for IGS, including Casino Campione d'Italia, the largest casino in Europe, and MCS Cruises, and further new business. Cash and cash equivalents at the end of the quarter were over €400 million, following payments of £10 million for a 33% stake in BGO and a further £10.5 million for the acquisition of Aristocrat Lotteries. Looking at current trading, daily average revenues over the first 21 days of October were up over 22% compared to Q4 13, slightly above the level reported so far this year, and were up over 2% on Q3 14. Looking ahead, we still have significant growth drivers which are yet to be reflected in the current figures, including the structured agreements with Caliente and Gazzetta dello Sport, further secured software agreements, the contribution from the services agreement with Ladbrokes, and many more. I'll now hand back to Mor.
Many thanks, Ron. Before taking your questions, I'd like to look at some of the operational factors that have contributed to another record quarter. The third quarter followed the themes discussed in the interim presentation, which focused on the continued execution of our strategy. We launched new licensees, extended our relationships with some of Playtech's largest licensees, adding more Playtech products to their portfolio, and renewed certain contracts with others. We also sharpened our set of tools, converging retail, online, and mobile, and remained focused on content, adding more games to our ever-growing games portfolio, further cementing our position as the largest content provider in the space. Casino revenue increased 33.3% over the comparable quarter, continuing the same trend seen earlier this year, and also due to Ladbrokes, which only fully launched at the end of April, Gala Coral, whose mobile activity was significantly up, and UK Casino more than doubled compared to the prior year. Live royalties also outperformed this quarter, growing at 28%, mainly due to some major licensees such as Betfair, Paddy Power, Ladbrokes, as well as growth in other markets. We expect a similar trend for the remainder of the year. Mobile casino royalties increased substantially, given strong growth in major markets, and Bingo side games performed well due to increased TV marketing by certain leading Bingo licensees, which I'll discuss further in a moment. In summary, our growth follows the growth of Playtech's largest blue-chip licensees in some important markets. We continue to invest in our games library, launching new games on both web and mobile, and launching additional new branded games. We have also started to adapt popular land-based slot content for the online market to bolster our unique integrated offering, making us truly channel-agnostic, whether land-based, mobile, web, or broadcast. We have signed exclusive groundbreaking strategic agreements with seven of the industry's leading land-based content providers for the UK, Italy, Spain, Eastern Europe, Asia, and South America, with further agreements in the pipeline. Some of these games will be available through our open platform, whereas land-based casinos, who already have an online offering powered by Playtech, will be able to offer their content through the integrated IMS platform, which we expect will benefit them and accelerate their growth. As I mentioned to you at year-end and at the Q1 and interim results, sport has been and remains a major focus for the company. I also said that we had a strong pipeline of licensees in the sport vertical, and that our sports web and mobile products would in time become the leading sports products in the key European markets and elsewhere. Over the third quarter, sport more than doubled to 7.1 million euros, with exceptional performance in both web and mobile. Following Cheltenham, the Derby Day, the Grand National, Royal Ascot, and the World Cup, our sports product is now fully battle-tested for this ever-changing sport betting environment, and based on feedback from our licensees, it presents the most sophisticated and advanced offering available in the market. Right now, we have a further licensees in the pipeline, targeting opportunities in Africa, Italy, Australia, Spain, Belgium, and the UK. Bingo returned to growth over Q3, driven by major sports betting and bingo operators, such as Bet365, Gala, Paddy Power, and Sky, supported by Trinity Mirror, who are through their first soft launch migration period and recently started a major TV campaign. Today, around 10% of bingo revenue is derived from the mobile channel. Based on the performance and ever-increasing mobile share for some leading bingo licensees that focus on mobile marketing, we believe that mobile bingo activity will grow significantly in the coming quarters, hence presents a true growth opportunity. Internal metrics remain strong, and we believe we are at least maintaining market share in a competitive marketplace. Licensees are implementing a more focused cross-sell strategy, whereby they are acquiring players via bingo and cross-selling them into casino side games, which decreases CPA and improves overall licensee margin. While poker remains a challenging market, we adopted a significant change in the way our operators earn fees from lucrative players. This was trialed in Italy and is now being rolled out across the network. Our rake distribution structure has changed, so it attributes rake based on value and contribution of each licensee, taking into account not only the player's bet, but their deposits as well. This new structure actually incentivizes operators to spend money on marketing to attract new depositing players, as well as convert players from other formats, which will improve the quality of the network and generate better returns to our licensees. Our mobile and tablet poker is gaining traction and is providing means for operators to acquire players more cheaply. We are finding a large number of players enter the poker sphere through their mobiles and then continue playing via web once they begin betting with larger sums of money. As I've said before, poker remains a key offering in regulated markets and is an important complementary product for sports betting operators. Moving on to mobile. Mobile casino is now slightly larger than mobile sports, having more than doubled this quarter to 6.1 million euros. We have worked hard to transition online content to our mobile platform, and we now have a total of 60 games offered through iOS and Android, as well as HTML5, consisting of the most popular content, and we are continuously accelerating the number of games released on mobile and expect to continue with this process in the coming months. We've seen exponential growth over the year, with Q1 2014 growth of 87%, growing to 103% in this quarter. Notwithstanding, mobile casino remains limited when compared to web, and we are confident that it presents a further growth opportunity for the company and its licensees as they continue to convert players from web to mobile and attract new demographics of players. Mobile poker is also starting to gain momentum. While the overall mobile bingo channel was around 11% of overall bingo, there is a greater penetration of casino side games than core bingo. We continue to launch new bingo content with a minimum of 200 games planned for 2015. Now that the acquisition of Poker Strategy has anniversaried, I'm pleased to see strong growth in PTTS, driven by both live and operational services. Additional growth was driven by white label operations for Trinity Mirror and other brands ahead of the expected regulatory change in the UK. The introduction of tax in a competitive market presents a great opportunity to further expand our white label offering and operations as companies will seek a full turnkey solution that can improve their margins, allowing them to focus on marketing and maintain their presence and position in the lucrative UK market. RCS Media has launched the Gazettabet website with sport, run under a fully turnkey solution. This is the first phase, and we expect to launch a full web and mobile casino offering later this year. We are pleased with the early progress being made, but it is too early to read anything too far ahead. Caliente will shortly be launching, and I believe that in time this can become a very significant licensee and will provide a toehold into other South American markets. Our efforts and dedication in the third quarter and earlier this year are paying off, and we not only cement and extend relationships with our licensees, we also set the stepping stones for further growth that is expected in the remainder of the year and the following years. It is pleasing to see that our licensees trust us as their strategic technology partner and understand the value proposition and our capabilities to support and accelerate their growth. Looking forward to the balance of the year and beyond, the board remains highly confident of the continuing growth prospects for the company. Operator, we would be pleased now to take any questions there are.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question. Please go ahead. Your line is open. Your line is open, Victoria Gurr. Please go ahead.
Morning. Hi, Ron. Hi, Moore. Can I just ask a couple of questions on geographic growth? Asia is still very strong in the quarter. It looks to me up sort of 80% plus. Can you call out any particular markets or products that are driving that? And then same question, really, for Europe. Looks like it's up about 2%. Are you still seeing some disruption there from moves to regulated markets or any other factors going on there?
With regards to Asia, actually we see the same trends that we saw so far since the beginning of the year. We see a very clear trend as part of which, if before it was always about, there is a saying within Playtech that seeing is believing. One trend we saw over the last 18 months, and this trend continues, and continued in the last quarter, it is that players now choose to play RNG games based on graphical engines rather than just the live games, which obviously presents a great opportunity on a big base of players that already play the game and use our software through do that with some of our licensees, with a selected few licensees that we focused on in the last many years. And therefore, I would say that it is led by casino and RNG games in the casino. The markets are the same markets that we disclosed 18 months ago or 2 years ago when we moved to the main list, and it remains the same. It is China, Malaysia, and various other markets across Asia. We do see a very clear trend of the games becoming very popular, and we see a very clear trend towards various initiatives around regulated formats that are underway in certain parts of Asia. Philippines is already regulated, and we see some other opportunities in the area. Can you repeat?
Great, thank you. Yes, same question really on what are the moving parts in Europe? Looks to be up about 2% in the quarter.
With respect to what? Sorry, Victoria. With respect to gains, or with respect to the market trends that are driving this growth?
Yeah, so market trends in Europe.
Understood. So I would say not too different from what we basically indicated in the interim. It's basically a net effect of two directions being made. On the one side, you have certain operators accessing certain dot-com markets, and with a view of entering into regulated revenue streams. And so this is one trend, which is obviously the negative trend, which is affecting PTTS to some extent, and is affecting other areas of the business as well. On the other side of that, we see basically growth coming from regulated markets. Now this is predominantly being coming from new business today, including Ladbrokes, including a new software arrangement that we have, and extensions of agreements that we have with our existing customers, specifically in the UK, including Sky, including Betfair, including Ray, basically in Finland and in other regulated markets. So a positive trend altogether, and we believe this will continue onwards.
Victoria, we are very pleased with the fact that the growth of our licensees that focus on key regulated markets such as the UK, Italy, Spain, Finland, and elsewhere, more than offsetting the transition of certain operators that now allocate more of their funds towards regulated initiatives, moving from dot-com to regulated markets. So obviously, while 2% is still modest, it is a very positive outcome for us, given the fact that our existing licensees focusing on these key markets, as I indicated, more than offset for the transition from dot-com to regulated.
Great, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Vaughan Lewis, Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi there. Just within PTTS, can you explain again what's driving the acceleration in the growth there, particularly as you're lapping the acquisition? And with the new turnkey solutions revenue that's starting to come in, what sort of profit margin should we think about for that type of business? And then a couple on regulations. Have you seen any indication of any changes in Malaysia at all? And then with the changes in the law that went through in Singapore, does that have any impact on your business? And is there any way that you can access the regulated market there for any entities that are able to operate? Thanks.
Yeah, hi Vaughan, good morning. With respect to your first question, as I indicated before, I mean, one of the main drivers which is driving the PTTS revenues towards is the live facility. We have, you know, that PTTS has two live facilities, and it's growing. It's growing both on the software side, and obviously as this is the same model, the same rev share model that PTTS are charging for the facility itself, it's growing also on the services side. And it's reflected in the growth there. In addition to that, PTTS is also providing some operational services to other customers. One of the new ones, is being Ladbrokes. This is other than the marketing agreement or the services, the big services agreement that we have with Ladbrokes, which is of a different business model. This is in addition to that. It's basically operational services and people that we provide them. In the same way that provided William Hill a few years back. So these are basically the two areas, and this is netting some of the effect of the obviously some of the effect of the transition from dot-com to regulated revenue stream.
Vaughan, good morning. With regards to Singapore and Malaysia, Singapore actually is quite encouraging. What we see currently across Asia is quite encouraging, and I referred to that earlier in the first or the second question we had. Singapore decided to change the law to ban online gaming. However, it issued an RFP by the Singapore pools that means it will operate online gaming. Online gaming will be allowed through the Singapore pools in the future. So obviously, it is another example of a market that is regulating, and before that it banned the market. Obviously we are in the process, we monitor it closely, and we are interested in establishing ourselves in the area, including in Singapore, and we'll participate in this process. In terms of the impact on the business, it's marginal. Our licensees, Singapore was never focused for our licensees, and while it was not closed, it's obviously now closed, but it was not closed in the past, but we had a marginal business there, no, not us, but our licensees had a marginal business there, so there is no impact whatsoever on our business. In terms of Malaysia, there was an inquiry in Malaysia, and the response was not, I don't think that there was a very clear response what how the future will look like, and we definitely monitor that closely. Again, as I indicated earlier, Asia is what Europe and other markets were a few years back, and we definitely think that over time certain regulated opportunities will arise in Asia, the same way it happens now in Singapore, the same way it happened before in the Philippines, where we already established ourselves, and we will likely see over time, over the coming years, the same trend we see elsewhere, as it is inevitable that eventually certain markets will regulate.
Okay. Ron, can I just check on the comments on PTTS? What's the difference on the revenue on live facility then? What goes into software and what goes into services for the live facility revenue? Thanks.
It's basically, I mean, when a customer is taking our live offering, he needs to pay basically for two areas of the solution. One of them is the software and technology, right? So this is one part of that. The other one is the actual facilities. The facility is the dedicated area that they're building specifically for him. It's the operational side of that. So, and I won't go into the commercial aspect of that because obviously that can't be disclosed, but there is certain rev share which is charged for the software, which is, I wouldn't go into the details of how much it is, but it's standard software level. And there is an additional charge to the operators for the facility itself.
Vaughn, this business model exists since the early days of live facility. Obviously, live grows both in Europe and elsewhere. And we enjoy the growth of our licensees. We see a transition in certain markets, mainly Europe, from live to, from casino RNG games to live. And we definitely benefit from that. And given the fact that it's an operational service we provide our licensees on top of the software, then definitely we benefit from that.
Very clear. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Simon Davis from Canaccord. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, morning. Can I return to the geographic theme? Can you split out performance in the UK and give us a sense of the growth rates in the last quarter, the percentage of revenues now coming from the UK, and also now that we've got confirmation of point of consumption tax, are you having further conversations with your licensees about sharing the pain, and can you update us on your thoughts on the potential impact of that next year?
Yes. So UK is basically the same level as it was before. We're talking about 20 right now. I think it's 28% in this quarter, due to the significant growth coming from as I said, Ladbrokes and Sky and growth in Bet365 on Bingo and other areas. So 28% altogether. POC.
And the growth rate is broadly similar to the group growth rate, i.e., 28%.
I think it's even higher than that. UK grew higher than the rest of Europe, I would say. It grew by slightly more than that, while some of the parts of the rest of Europe has declined. And the reason for that is exactly the transition. I mean, this is exactly reflecting some of the things that are happening in some dot-com markets in Europe. For the sake of argument, for example, the Netherlands. I mean, the Netherlands, obviously, many operators are decreasing the exposure to the Netherlands on the back of the coming regulations. This will transition to be a regulated market, and therefore you will start seeing growth once it's introduced. But for the time being, UK is, for us, it's still growing faster than other markets. And it's also about new business. I mean, obviously, the Ladbrokes agreement is very significant on the software side to Playtech, and it's driving the growth. And Sky is another very significant agreement for Playtech in the UK. And the additional arrangements and software agreements that we have with Betfair, which is growing as well, and Gala, which is growing. So this is driving the growth in the UK in a faster rate than in the rest of the European markets.
And I think we always say that our numbers are a true reflection of our licensees. And I think that what you said earlier, you saw earlier this week, certain announcement made by various other companies like William Hill and others. Obviously, we enjoy the growth that they enjoy, which is very encouraging for us. And we believe that this trend will continue going forward.
Now, on your second question on POC, I think the picture is getting clearer, but still not finalized yet. We are still at a stage where we are discussing with some customers on how much of the pain we will accept sharing. With that being said, I think the original estimation that we gave to the market of or the maximum pain that we will suffer with respect to the POC around 12 million, I think it's still a relevant number. We are constantly reviewing that and analyzing that, and this is the updated number for us as well.
Great, thanks.
We will now take our next question from Nick Batram from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Morning, chaps. Just two questions from me. First of all, do you think your licensees are actually taking market share, or is it simply just a reflection of the underlying growth in the market? Just be interested in your thoughts on that, and you know, if they are outperforming, sort of what to what magnitude. And secondly, just on the acquisition environment, clearly the cash pile continues to build. You've been looking for things for quite some time now. Is anything moving in your direction? Is it a question of price, or is it really a question that there's just nothing out there for you to buy?
Okay, so on the market share question, the first question, obviously as Ron indicated, the UK grew. I assume that you refer specifically to the UK and some key core markets.
Yes,
grew quite significantly in the last quarter and earlier this year. And the answer is obviously the UK market is not growing by more than 28%, or in other words, by definition, it's a combination of market share and them enjoying the growth of the overall market. Our licensees, we are fortunate to have the blue chip companies being our licensees. We work closely with them to equip them with the tools, with the set of tools required in order to operate effectively, better than other operators in the market, and they leverage this set of tools for the benefit of their own for each and every company, leveraging the capabilities of the system that do not exist with other operators in the market, leveraging their brand in order to accelerate the growth. So, as I said, just to summarize that, definitely it's a combination of market share and some organic growth of the market. I'm happy to say that all of our largest licensees grow, and therefore it means that they take market share from licensees that do not do business with Playtech currently. And I assume those include mid-size operators and one or two operators that are quite significant but do not do business with Playtech. In terms of the cash position and our intentions, definitely we remain acquisitive. We are focused on delivering a good deal. We identified certain opportunities. We do believe that the opportunities exist. We have various ideas. We indicated the areas that we are interested in during the interim presentation. We do believe, as I indicated during the interim presentation, that the right timing to do a deal will be towards the end of this year, beginning of next, not least because of the regulatory changes in the UK, which will, I believe, put some pressure on certain companies and will get them to the right position which will obviously will allow us to deliver a good deal that can create a lot of value for the benefit of the company and its shareholders. So we did identify the companies. In some cases, we even engaged certain companies. The process is underway. But given the size of the acquisition we are aiming at and given the cash position of the company, we have to be highly confident that this is the right deal, the strategic deal the market expects, and most importantly, the right deal and the best deal for the company.
So from that, it sounds like you'd be frustrated or disappointed if you hadn't sort of, you know, made a reasonable acquisition by the end of Q1 next year?
I will say that deals, as always, have a life of their own, and sometimes deals take time. I will be disappointed if we will not be in a position to say that we identified and we made real progress in the first half of next year. I would say I'm being very, very conservative. But definitely we are interested in using the cash and acquire a company that can take Playtech to the next level. I don't want to commit to any specific time frame because obviously it's not entirely our decision. And when you do a deal, there are always two parties involved. And as I said, deals sometimes take time. But definitely a real process sometime in the first part of the year is a reasonable time frame.
Thanks, Mor. Cheers.
We will now take our next question from Tal Grant, UBS. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you. And congratulations on the strong quarter. I was wondering if you could just clarify how much of your revenue comes from China. You said to look at the prospectus, then it was about 4% of revenue, so is it still the same now? Also, how many of your licensees operate there? And do you know if any of them have plans to pull out of there or indeed anywhere from Asia? Secondly, on the structured agreements with Caliente, Trinity Mirror and RCS Media, are these all structured as profit share agreements, and Will it go straight into the PCCS revenue line? And finally, just to confirm, do you now have a UK supply license? Maybe you did already, but just wanted to clarify that. Thanks.
Okay, so let me start from the beginning. With respect to China, China is more significant on the back of the growth rates that we see in the region. Obviously, China is one of the biggest jurisdictions in Asia. I will need to look exactly on the current size of that compared to where it was back at the when we went to the main market. But obviously, it is higher than that, and we do enjoy the fact that many of our customers, including the blue chip customers who are targeting Asia, are also targeting China. Each and every one of them, by the way, is targeting China. I can't think of even one customer who is not targeting China, in the same way that they are targeting Russia, in the same way that they are targeting any other unregulated markets across the globe. And it is becoming more and more significant. With respect to certain licensees pulling out of Asia, I can't think of a single licensee that we hear that is pulling out of Asia. The only, I would say, noise that we heard was only with respect to Singapore, which is very, very small to us, up to the point of de minimis, so really not affecting us in any way. Your question after that was? On the structured agreement. The accounting treatment will be closer to a JV accounting, meaning part of the consideration from these transactions will go to the top line. Potentially, most of it, obviously the software part of it will go to the top line as software revenues. On the services part, consideration will go to the top line. Part of it will be recorded as a JV equity line, I would say. And this will obviously be, this is obviously on the back of accounting treatment, on the fact that there is some sort of sharing of a certain, call it a certain P&L. Therefore, it's from an accounting perspective, it's closer to a JV accounting, but this will obviously be recorded under the services division P&L rather than the software part of that, simply because of the essence of that. And your last point was? Your last one was on the UK license. So yes, we did get confirmation already that we do hold the supplier license as a software provider. Yes.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Richard Stuber from Nomura. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Just one question, please. I think at the interim, you said in July and August, revenues were up 21%, and now you've, in the Q3, you did 29%. I suppose that suggests nearly 40% growth in September. Could you just give some colour in terms of what the step-up was in September, and now I guess you've sort of back down to the 22% again. So what was so special about that month? Thank you.
Yeah, it's not just about September. September specifically, as I try to explain that in the statement as well, we have three customers basically moving to the white label arrangement. On the back of moving to a white label arrangement, there is a transition from Playtech recording the revenues as the rev share and to Playtech recording the revenues as the, call it, as the legal license holder. Therefore, the reflection in the revenue side is sort of it's like an inflation of the revenues. Although the bottom line and the EBITDA line for that activity would remain somewhat similar to how it was before, it's a different presentation from an accounting perspective, simply because it's a white label arrangement rather than on the back of a license held by Playtech rather than the other way around. So that's one element of it which created this situation. With respect to growth in Q4 versus Q4 13 compared to growth of Q3 14 to Q3 13, I think it's only on the back of mathematics at the end of the day. The growth in from the fourth quarter to the third quarter in last year was basically around 5%, north of 5%. This time we're talking about north of 2%, so this is simply the mathematics of that. It's bigger numbers, obviously. It's different numbers, so getting the same growth rate is obviously much more difficult when it comes to higher numbers, but still very impressive growth rates, and I think 22% is it's definitely a good sign going forward.
That's great. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Ivor Jones from Numis. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, thank you. Actually, can I start by following on from Richard's question? He made a very good point about September being up strongly. You said that was because of a change in accounting to do with the white labels. So why would that not have a similar effect in October? What have I misunderstood?
It will have a similar effect in October and going forward. It's simply Q4 in 2013, if you remember, we had a very strong quarter back then, which grew around north of 5% on Q3, and this created a bigger growth rate. Therefore, when you compare Q4 to Q4, compare that to Q3 versus Q3, where in Q3 you're comparing a situation where there is a change to this white label accounting treatment, compared to a period where this was not the case, and the growth from Q4 to Q3 will be obviously milder because it's already happened. So it's only the mathematics around it. It's not, there is no slowdown in the growth of Playtech that we identify.
Actually, as we indicated earlier in the conversation, October was a very strong month for us. It was a very strong month for us and our licensees, led by various UK-focused licensees, and we enjoyed that.
Do you mean in Q4 last year, Mo?
No, also Q4. If you remember, Q3 last year, we saw some growth in a traditionally slow quarter. Fourth quarter was even stronger than that, so obviously the base is very high. And then, as Ron indicated, when comparing Q4 when comparing Q4 this year to Q4 last year, the growth is above 22% because the base is higher and obviously the numbers are higher. But we definitely see the same. We see a very strong trend of growth as we indicated in the fourth quarter as well. It's just the comparables are different.
Okay, thank you. And the question I wanted to ask was about the white label arrangements. These are three operators that have been targeting the UK. The brands will continue to target the UK, but they will operate on a Playtech license. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. We realize that certain companies and certain operators of Playtech that has not an insignificant amount of activity in the UK, but not significant enough amount for them to apply for a license themselves and then maintain that. And instead of them pulling out completely from the market, we offer them an alternative to that, which is a full turnkey solution. In order to do that, we obviously need to hold the license ourselves. By the way, this is the model that we have been doing for the last many, many years since we acquired the Virtu Fusion business that held the license in Alderney and operated white labels for various smaller bingo halls across the UK. So this is not a new business model altogether in the industry. Obviously, Dragonfish is very similar. Most of the operators operating under Dragonfish will operate under an 888 Dragonfish license. So this is a very valid and solid business model in the UK and elsewhere. We just extended what we had in Bingo before to allow certain operators or to protect certain activity and keep it. So we moved it under Playtech, the Playtech license, and operate it ourselves. So we moved to a white label full turnkey solution for these licenses for the UK market. The third, obviously, we said we refer to two licenses as well as a third one, which is Trinity Mirror, which is obviously which obviously migrated from a competitor of Playtech, but required the same framework, including a full turnkey solution and a license.
And so does that mean Playtech makes the operational decisions in relation to those brands for the UK?
Yes, the operational decisions are made by Playtech. Certain, I would say, not all of the operational. Obviously, there are certain requirements that we have to comply with in accordance with the regulations. So all of those decisions, everything is led by Playtech, and we fully comply with all the requirements, not only in the UK but other markets as well, but specifically in the UK. Certain operational decisions to do with marketing are done not by Playtech but by the service provider or the marketing activities provided by obviously the people behind it.
And is that how you end up being able to not compete with yourself or have to decide to allocate resources between the brands?
The marketing is not led by Playtech, it's led by others. We just provide a full turnkey solution. It's very similar to what you have in the industry and you had in the industry for many, many years. It's the same for 888, it's the same for Bwin Party, providing certain similar services. It's the same for Sen Minver that operated a similar business. These are obviously smaller operators, very insignificant when compared to the largest blue chip companies of Playtech. It is mainly protecting the business that we had in the UK, rather than competing with our licensees. It's a full turnkey solution. However, certain marketing activities are done and led by other people, and therefore we don't believe that it presents any conflict with our licensees. We provide operational services, we provide the framework, the license, everything to do with the license. But we are not, as I indicated before, when it comes to marketing, it's not Playtech decision.
Okay, thank you. That's clear. And can I just check, Ron, something that you said? Did you say that, I may have misheard you, that all your blue chip licensees target China?
Most of them.
The vast majority of them do not ban China. Obviously, just to reiterate it and make it to clarify that, we are in China and elsewhere in Asia. We are focused on a selected number of customers that have been working with Playtech for the last 10 years, since 2004 and 2005. Obviously, they enjoy from the changing trends across Asia, which benefit them and Playtech. We have some UK-focused customers offering their services in Asia, across Asia. We have a limited number of customers altogether targeting the market, but a limited number that are based in Asia focusing on this. It's a combination of blue-chip companies as well as other blue-chip companies focused on Asia. But it's, obviously, with our experience, the proven track record of these companies, we feel very comfortable with that.
Sorry, I've heard a number of different phrases, including most of the blue chip customers and a limited number. I'm not quite sure what.
Let me be very, very clear, so I'll clarify that, so it will be, because I'm not trying, obviously, I want to make it very, very clear. Most of our blue chip companies, the vast majority of our blue chip companies, may have some activity from Asia. They do not simply actively block the market. They may have an insignificant, very small business, but they do not take active measures to block Asia. However, at the same time, most of the revenues we generate from Asia coming from a limited number of companies, blue chip companies, that have been working with Playtech for the last 10 years plus, that have a significant activity in Asia or are focused on Asia. So just to summarize that, the revenues are generated from a selected number of companies that are focused not entirely, but mostly or partly on Asia, while at the same time we have most of our customers not actively blocking Asia.
Great, thank you, that is clear. And just last one, we haven't talked about Piermont and Gauselmann for a while. To get revenue from them, then there just needs to be regulatory change, is that right? Or is there something ongoing now?
Yes, that is entirely true. And I think that it is important, it is an important question. If before, as you know, it's an ever-evolving, changing industry when it comes to regulation. And obviously we foresaw the regulation quite early, in an early stage, and we were focused on certain markets in the early on in the process. Now we focused on countries like South Africa and Germany and others that said and indicated that they will regulate the market. And this is why we wanted to basically align ourselves and ensure that we have strong partners in this market. However, as you rightfully indicated, we are reliant on the market being regulated. We heard from various operators that they believe that Germany, it will take some time before Germany will be regulated, and it took more than we expected in South Africa to regulate, and however the process is underway, now people are more hopeful that it will happen over the next, 12 to 18 months. Having said all that, so obviously just to answer the question, yes, it is reliant on the regulatory change and the market being regulated, and we have the right partners, strategic partners, in regulated or soon to be regulated markets that are important to the online gaming industry. Having said all that, we realize that there are, given the change of regulations across Europe and elsewhere, that we should focus with our PTTS capabilities and the proven track record of PTTS, that we should focus on other markets going forward, on markets that are already regulated. And Obviously, Trinity Mirror in the UK and Gazzetta dello Sport and Caliente are good examples of that, of the ability of Playtech to use PTTS not only in soon-to-be regulated or markets that we may regulate in the future, but existing regulated markets where we can start operating and generate revenues.
Yeah, makes sense. I suppose, I'm sorry, it makes sense to ask you finally, what proportion of revenue you think is generated from activity in Australia?
Sorry?
It's marginal. Australia is, I think today it's around 1%, if not less.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Simon French from Cenkos. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yeah, morning, guys. Hopefully a couple of quick ones from me. Firstly, just on sports, can you just give us an indication of the breakdown between like-for-like growth there, new licensees, and geographically where that revenue is coming from? And then just on acquisitions, listening to your answer to Nick's question, it sounded like you may be considering buying an operator. Can you just confirm that's something you might be looking at, please?
Okay, hi Simon. Like-for-like growth is the same growth that you see on sport. I mean, it's all on the like-for-like. There were no acquisitions done on sport lately. Nothing to report on that I can think of. With respect to the split between new business and organic growth, I think most of it comes from organic growth. I mean, a lot of it. I would say maybe 30% of the growth is coming from new business currently. Ladbrokes being one of them, obviously. The rest coming simply organic, and most of the growth is again still yet on mobile sports. But sports is definitely growing, although from a lower base.
Okay, and in terms of where in the world the revenue is coming from, is it mostly Asia again?
On sports?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
On mobile sports, it's basically mostly European and Australia. It's predominantly being UK, Italy, and then Australia, I would say.
Just to indicate, you all probably know because it's in the public domain, you can go and see that Ladbrokes, Coral, Paddy Power, William Hill are all Playtech customers. We have various others in Italy and elsewhere. So definitely we enjoy their growth in the UK, in Australia, in Italy, in the Czech Republic, and elsewhere.
Okay, and then just on the acquisition question about maybe acquiring an operator, is that something you're thinking about?
Obviously, it is something that presents something that we consider or discuss. However, as we indicated in the past, it has to be an acquisition that will present a real significant growth opportunity, and one that will allow us to avoid conflicts with our licensees. Certain operational capabilities can be leveraged in certain acquisitions, and this can be done without a conflict in certain areas or geographies where we don't have any presence, or products that currently we do not provide our customers. I indicated before, just as an example, to simplify and exemplify that, I refer to lottery, where obviously only a handful or one license is provided. So getting involved in such a product, not necessarily lottery, but a similar product that does not put us in conflict with our licensees, may present a good opportunity. Hence, we are not ruling out any option, but it is very clear that our business is first and foremost, our core business is B2B, and we understand that we know that we want to avoid conflicts with our licensees. So this is obviously...
The answer is we will not do an acquisition that will jeopardize our B2B position in the key markets that we hold significant presence.
Okay. That's very clear. Thank you very much. Cheers, guys.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Ed Birkin from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hi, morning. Just one from me, please. I just wanted to clarify the growth rate in the UK, because when you asked about market share gains, you talked about 28% growth, which I assume is not that high, because that would imply that the rest of Europe's declined 25% or so.
Oh, sorry, I'm not sure I understand the question. The UK is growing faster than for us, I mean, on the back of new business, obviously. The list of items which I've illustrated earlier, UK is growing faster than 28%.
So that implies that the rest of Europe's declining by...
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. The reason for that is because of the transition from certain dot-com markets, where you see certain customers starting to refocus their marketing spend to exit from certain markets. And I gave the Netherlands as an example. I mean, the Netherlands used to be a very strong dot-com market. And obviously customers have started to understand that there is no... They need to decide whether they enter the market once it will become regulated next year. They need to decide whether they take a license or not. They can't continue on the same way that they did before. So they either refocus their marketing budget elsewhere. Then you start seeing a result of that is a decrease in the activity in such markets, and this is part of the effect of that. So what we saw is a very significant growth in the UK. Italy is also somewhat growing with a lot of the other jurisdictions either being very small or even decreasing.
This is actually the beauty about our business, that it is so diversified with core key markets such as the UK and Italy and some others that can more than compensate with high growth rates led by blue chip, well-established operators when others make a decision to reallocate their marketing funds elsewhere in line with the trend that we see across the industry as part of the regulatory change.
Okay, understood. And then just finally, just to clarify on Ivan's white label question, so you actually hold a B2C operating license in the UK, is that correct?
Yes, the answer is yes, and we have been doing that for many, many years now. We held an Alderney license that is now going to be, that on top of which we will have a UK license in line with the new regulation. And it's not different than most other software providers or people or operators that had somewhat a B2B aspiration. This is a valid and an existing model that exists in our industry for many, many years now.
Okay, thanks very much.
There are no further questions in the queue.
Finally, I would like to invite you to a London-based investor day later this year, where you will have a chance to meet some of the management talent in the business and experience some of the innovation that is driving current and future performance and cementing our position as the leading B2B supplier in the space. After a recap of our mobile and integrated land-based solutions, we will focus on our BI innovation toolset that enables a degree of automation for operators previously unseen in the industry, with systems that determine the customer's future journey, providing greater player segmentation, determining the games that players are most likely to play, and communicating with the players in the most appropriate manner. We have also introduced innovative features at the end of the customer life cycle to reduce the attrition of active players. Invitations are going to be sent shortly, and I look forward to seeing some of you later this year. Have a great day.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.